Today's Bible reading is Psalm 145, verses 1 to 7. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendour of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
Thank you, Bronwyn. I always love hearing people read the Bible. It's good. Ask you the question this morning, do you reckon we live a life that is fundamentally different than those around us? John 10:10 says, he came that we might have abundant life, and that there should be something about us that has a character of abundant life, something that people see and they go, I want what that person has. We've been looking at, but we're in the middle of a series called The Habits of a Flourishing Life, and we've been looking at some of the habits that make that kind of characteristic. And the very first one was to be a community of grace-filled welcome, that we are the people where wherever people come from, they find a sense of love and acceptance. People don't have to be good enough to be here, because we're not good enough to be here. We recognise our own sinfulness, our own failings, and that we welcome all people as walking the journey of life when we're trying to walk it together to encourage one another. The second thing is to be people who experience awestruck worship, just to have occasions where we just go, what an incredible universe. You know, when we see beautiful architecture, when we see people gathering, when we see creation, and we just go, our God made that. And so we have that sense of awe-ness. And today we're looking at what does it mean to be sharing joy-filled wonder? What does it mean to be a people that are full of the wonder of the goodness of God, and we share that with other people? In our scripture today, there's two parts to this passage. The first one was really our last theme, was turning in awe-ness to the awesome God. And the second part is really about having joy-filled wonder. I was reading yesterday morning Esther 1. And in Esther 1, there's a guy called Xerxes, an incredible king. He had a nation that went all over Egypt and all over Babylon, so it was a great nation. And he decided to throw a party. When he threw a party, he knew how to throw a party. 180 days long. That's a serious party. And he had silver and gold furniture all over the place. And if you came to his party, you got a special goblet made just for you, made of gold and silver and all beautiful things. So everyone was unique. And the servants had to give you whatever you wanted in that. So if it was Barry, it would be Diet Coke. Some of us might have less other things as well. There might be a few wines and a few beers and a few other things. But you could have whatever you want. And it went on for 180 days. And I wonder if you were part of that party, whether that's a story you would tell for the rest of your lives. I remember when I went to a party. But you know, that's not the kind of party that would be remembered in God's kingdom. Remember the story I've told a couple of times about Tony Campolo with that prostitutes at 2 o'clock in the morning. And Tony threw a party for prostitutes at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's the kind of party in the kingdom of God we tell wonderful stories about. So I wonder if we are a people of wonder, whether we're good at telling stories. There's that time in Acts where Peter and John are going into the temple. Remember that? And the guy looked at them who was lame, and he said to them, you know, gold. And Peter turns to him and says, silver and gold I have none, but stand in the name of Jesus. And the guy gets up, and what does the scripture says? With wonder and amazement, the people saw. See, they are the stories that we should be telling about the wonderfulness of God and what God has done. I was looking at a few other people and just sort of some of the things that people have said about what it means to be a spiritual person. And there's a guy called Abraham Heschel. He was living in Frankfurt in October 1938, and the Gestapo found him. He was a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, had grown up in Poland, was living in Frankfurt, and the Gestapo sent him back to what was called the Warsaw Ghetto. Has anybody heard of the Warsaw Ghetto? About 400,000 Jews were pushed into this little area, about the size from here to Prince's Highway, up to Office Works, and that square. So think of that square there, 400 people pushed and crammed into that little spot. This guy was pushed into that horrible experience. He did survive, but his mother was killed by the Nazis. His two sisters were killed in concentration camps. Another sister was killed in the bombings over Germany. And so he lost all of his family. And this is what he said after his life. Our goal should be to live in radical amazement, to get up in the morning and to look at the world in a way that takes nothing for granted. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is incredible. Never treat life casually. To be spiritual is to be amazed. What a fantastic line. To be spiritual is to be amazed. And those who have gone through the worst of the worst have told us that. Does anybody know the background to the song It Is Well With Your Soul? Joe's going to sing it for us in just a few moments, but as he gets ready, I'm just going to tell you the story. It was a guy by a guy called Horatio Spafford. I have to look at my facts because I'm not very good at remembering some of the facts sometimes. Born in 1928, he was quite a rich guy, was living in Chicago, was a lawyer, had lots of property, had a wife called Anna and had five beautiful children. And in 1870, his four-year-old boy, he only had one boy, died of scarlet fever. And it was really the beginning of the ease of his life. Up to that point, he was a rich, well-to-do man. He was a great Christian, a friend of D.L. Moody. So kind of in that environment. And then in 1870, he lost his child. 1871, there was the great fire in Chicago. 3,000 people killed, 100,000 people sent into homelessness, and he lost nearly all of his property. So he'd lost a child, he'd lost nearly all of his property, he'd lost most of his wealth. A couple of years later, he decides that he would go over to England, and Dwight Moody was preaching a series over there. So while he was there, he would be listening to Dwight Moody. So, but he couldn't get on the boat with his family because something had happened and he had to stay home for work. And so he put his wife and his four girls on a ship to go across the Atlantic. And in the middle of the Atlantic, that ship collided with another ship, and 276 people were killed. All four of his children were killed in that tragedy. And his wife sent him a telegram when she got over to Glasgow, I think it was, and she said, "Saved alone." And so he got onto the next boat he could and he went across the Atlantic. And as he was going across the Atlantic, the captain called him to up to the bridge and he said, "I thought I'd bring you up here because we're about to come to the place. We calculated where the ships collided. And so at this spot, your four children died." They only found the wife because she was unconscious on a piece of wood that was floating in the ocean. That's the only reason she survived. He went down into his room, and this is the song that he wrote. So, Joe, if you can come up and sing the song and the words. So this is a person with a broken heart with this wonderful song.
Mm-hmm. God bendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. My soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, has the day when the veil beside the clouds be rolled back.
See, often when we think about the wonders of God, we're not always thinking about the tragedies of life. But one of the unique things of the Christian faith is we are able to say, despite everything that happens, it is well with my soul. Horatio went with his wife Anna. They moved to Jerusalem, had another three children. One of those again died young, but he spent the rest of his life giving help to homeless children on the streets of Jerusalem. And he said his whole life was simply telling people about the goodness of God. See, God is good, and God is not always good in the way that we so often. See, we live in a world that can tell good stories when good things are happening. But the question is, can we tell good stories when good things are not happening? Are we still able to have a soul that is good? Here are some stories out of the Bible when people were able to say, it is well with my soul. Think of Daniel, you know, that young man taken away from his home, sent into another place, and he was seeking to honour God. And people who didn't like Daniel, what they did is they said to King Darius, hey, put a rule in place that if anybody worships God instead of you, they'd be thrown in with the lions. And what did Daniel do? Three times a day, he got up in his window and he basically said, it is well with my soul. I will worship my God more than other things. Think of Jonah. Ran away from God and all sorts of disobedience in his life. But when he got into the belly of the whale, he was able to call out to God and say, it is well with my soul because I've turned back to you. And so time and time again through the scriptures, it is well with my soul is a cry not when things are going well, but actually when things are going difficult. The Bible says it's not hard to be kind to your friends, but it's difficult to be kind to your enemies. It's not hard to be happy when life is going well, but are you able to have a wellness of soul when things are not going well? Do you have a grip on reality? I think we need to be better at telling the story. Sometimes one of the things I've noticed about Australians is that we tend not to want to tell stories that might even hint at making us sound good. And we're sometimes fearful of saying good things about God in case people think we're saying good things about us. But we have to tell good things about God. about the stories. I grew up in a legacy of a Catholic home, but a very, very strong Christian home. And I remember my mum telling me the story. I said to her once, why is my middle name Stanley? I hate that middle name. I grew up with, what was that, Coronation Street? Stanley Ogden, I think it was. He was this fat, alcoholic, drunk slob. And so my only thoughts of Stanley was that guy. I said, why did you call me Stanley? She said, because before you were born, we knew you'd be the priest of the family. They just assumed because I'd be a Catholic, I'd be a priest. And so he named you after the Catholic priest who was really important in our lives. And we never told you that until you become old enough, never told you until after you'd gone into the ministry. You know, how did she feel when I was born with a cleft palate and a hair lip? You want to see the photos of me when I was young, it's grotesque. They are horrible photos, just the face split apart. And it wasn't so easy in those days to fix all this stuff. You know, this was every 6 months I'd go and have another operation and another operation, another, all through up to my, you know, about 12. Every 6 months I'd go in and have an operation. But still God held on, my mum held on to that vision of what God would tell the story. It is well with my soul because I believe that God is causing a story to be told through this little baby. I remember she told me once about praying for somebody in tongues. So, you know, spiritual language, and she was praying, and it was for a married lady. And she just prayed for this lady, and then afterwards the lady said, so how come you know Mary? My mum said, I don't know Mary. She said, you were speaking perfect Mary as you were praying. So just the amazing things that God can do through ordinary people. And being able to tell those stories. We're going to sing that song together in a moment, and I hope that it kind of stirs you up. But I want to finish with this. Pat, I don't want to embarrass you, but you sent me an email or a text the other week. And I've got to say, this is what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Peter, I'd just like to thank you for presenting such a wonderful service to us. Yesterday, all the boxes plus extra were ticked. I appreciate the background and research that goes into the song readings and visuals, and everything else coordinated. You've certainly made a great impact on this nearly 82-year-old. The haunting sound of the flute and Linda's input enhances it too. I prepared classroom lessons, choral and instrument works for 40 years, so just wanted to let you know that you're both doing a massive job. So that's sharing the wonders. When something impacts us, being able to share back to those people. I want to finish with this thought. One of the most significant things I've ever done in my life, I think, is that I've gone back to the people who have blessed me in the past and told them about how they've blessed me. Being able to go to somebody like Barry or go to somebody and actually sit and look them in the eye or write them a letter and say, I don't know if you realise, but you did this. And it's interesting. People have said that to me at times when I've done something and they've gone, you said that thing or you did that thing and it really blessed my life. And I think I have no memory of that occasion. Often it's significant to them, but not significant to me. But it's an incredible blessing when you go back and you share the goodness of God. So let's be a people of telling stories. Tell the stories of God's acts so that we can sing together, it is well with my soul. So let's bring these guys up and we're going to sing this wonderful old hymn. And just as you're singing it, pray to God as well that things would be well with your soul.